Lord is good. So I'm going to invite you all to stand here tonight. And with that in mind, I'm going to read from the book of John, John chapter 21. John chapter 21, the very last book of the Gospels. John chapter 21, starting in verse 20, and I'm going to read a couple of verses. The word of the Lord says, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, Lord, who is it that's going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Everyone say, you follow me. Amen. You may be seated. You know, if you remember anything in these next few minutes from what I'm going to speak about, I want you to remember this, just these three words. And they're the three words that Jesus said to Peter. You follow me. You follow me. You see, we just read that Peter, a disciple of Jesus, after such a beautiful exchange, and if we read John chapter 21, we see such a beautiful story of how Peter, after denying Jesus three times earlier, Jesus asks him three questions, or rather, one question three times. He says, Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? And then Jesus goes ahead and talks to Peter, actually says in John chapter 21, kind of foreshadows or prophesies the way that Peter was going to pay the ultimate price. And we have Peter here, after this exchange, taking a look over his shoulder to John, the other disciple that was following Jesus, and saying, hey, Jesus, what about this guy? I know you told me what's going to happen to me. I know you asked me if I love you, and I said yes, and I promised to tend your sheep. I promised to be, you know, the rock. You're going to build your church on me, but I know you love this guy, John, but what about him? And Jesus says these three words, these powerful three words that I want us all to remember. You follow me. Because a lot of times in our Christian walk, I think that we're so concerned about what other people are doing. But what Jesus really calls us to do is to not care about the people around us, but keep our eyes laser focused on Jesus and follow Jesus. You see, the call to follow Jesus, very specifically as Jesus says, is you follow me. You see, it's individual. Each one of us is called to follow Jesus. Throughout all that Jesus and Peter went through, the crucifixion, the death, Peter's denial, you see beautifully in John chapter 21 how Jesus honed in on Peter. He cared about Peter's heart. He cared about what Peter went through. He cared about the exchange that he had earlier, or the denial that Peter had with Jesus. He questioned Peter one-on-one. Do you love me? Do you love me? Not everybody else. Do you love me? You see, the call to follow Jesus, and one thing we can learn from all of this is that it's deeply personal. It doesn't matter what me and the person next to us do. It's not a family calling. It's not a husband and wife calling. It's not a calling for our youth necessarily. It's deeply individual. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 says this, that if anybody would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Doesn't say take up our cross, take up the plural cross. It doesn't say five people just, you know, carry the cross in together. He says, take up your cross and follow me. You see, the calling to follow Jesus is not just a calling for us plural. It's not just a calling for a church, but it's something that's deeply personal. It's a question that every single one of us have to answer for ourselves. And if we call ourselves true Christians and true disciples of Jesus, we need to respond to that individualistic call to follow Jesus. We are called to not just follow him individually, but we're called to follow the individual. We're called to follow Jesus. Jesus doesn't ask Peter, do you love my church? Doesn't ask Peter, do you love worship? Do you love prayer? Doesn't ask Peter, do you love revival? Do you want to see revival? Do you want to see the lame walk, the blind see? Do you want to see people healed? Jesus doesn't ask Peter all of that. Jesus asked Peter, do you love church? We need to be so in love with Jesus that all that it matters is that we love him. That we don't just love coming to church, which is something we should love to do. That we shouldn't just love prayer, although it's something we should love to do. That we shouldn't love just praise and worship, because we should really love to praise and to worship. But overall, let's love the person of Jesus. It's Jesus who saved us. It's Jesus that redeemed us. It's Jesus that set us free. It's Jesus that heals us. It's Jesus that gives us a reason to live, a reason to sing, a reason to breathe, a reason to lay it all before him. It's Jesus. It's not a program. It's not some guitars, some chords. It's not a sweet piano solo or piano amazing. By the way, Michaela, amazing job today. It's not all that, but at the same time, it's about Jesus. What would our worship look like? What would church look like if we sought after Jesus and not programs? If we gave room for the person of Jesus, for the person of the Holy Spirit to work into this, in this place, to respond to our needs, to respond to every heart. You know, can we return to a simple gospel? And one of the things the Lord's been convicting me a lot lately is not, I mean, the Bible is so complex, so beautiful. There's so many things intertwined, but church, a lot of times we focus on the complex things and we miss the simple, where Jesus says, follow me. Follow in the footsteps of Jesus. Take up your cross and follow him. You know, I think about a lot of times my own grandmother, who I can say loved Jesus. And those of you who had the honor of knowing her knew that she loved Jesus. She loved the person of Jesus. And I thought back to how my grandma grew up in Romania, and she didn't know theological terms. She didn't know all these things about how the prophecies work together. She didn't know all of the complexities of the Bible. But one thing she knew, one thing she loved, one thing she understood is she loved Jesus. God moved. I remember her telling us how God moved with signs and wonders. How God, you know, the prayer was just focused on loving Jesus. Songs were inspired by the Holy Spirit through the scriptures, through a simple, sometimes simple understanding of the gospel. And because they read it in the Bible, they did it. They read it, and they did it. They said, Jesus tells me to love my enemies. Well, I guess we have to love our enemies, period. We have to, you know, Jesus says anything in the Bible, right? They read it, and they did it. And returning to the simple gospel, something that's so beautiful and something that we should all aspire to, it reminds me of John later on in his life writing in the book of Revelation about the church in Ephesus. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, I'm going to read that here. In Revelation chapter 2, verses 2 to 4, the word of God says, this is to the church in Ephesus, he says, the Lord says, I know your works, I know your toils, your patient endurance, how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake and have not grown weary. And if they were to take a test after these two verses, you would say this is an A-plus church. They're working, they're toiling, they're patiently enduring, they can't bear those who are doing evil, they're testing, they're looking through the scriptures, they're working hard, they're enduring, they haven't grown weary. But if we look in verse 4, the criticism and the rebuke that the Lord has for them is, but I have this against you, that you've abandoned your first love. That you didn't just forget about it, but you abandoned it. That you can work and you can toil and you can read and you can study and you can do all of these things, but if we can't love the person of Jesus, the Bible says that if we don't have love, we have nothing. Church, can we return to a simple gospel of loving Jesus? And out of the overflow of loving Jesus, can we do what he commands? The Bible says, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. And if we love him, we need to do what he commands us to do. But you know, when we make that decision to follow Jesus, that decision to follow Jesus doesn't come easy, because there are a lot of distractions. And the enemy starts throwing distractions in our way. The enemy will sometimes use people, sometimes people in the church, to keep us distracted from that core truth. The devil would put fights between us. He would stir misunderstandings between us. The devil will send people to discourage us. I remember what Brother Andrew Gaborash preached a couple Sundays ago, that if you're facing disappointment, if you're facing discouragement, you're on the right path. Because there's sometimes a lot of opposition when you're walking with the Lord. And I'm going to briefly turn here tonight with regards to eliminating distractions. I'm going to turn to Mark chapter 4 and read some verses here. Mark chapter 4 talks about the healing of Jairus' daughter. And I'm going to start in verse 38 to 43. Mark chapter 4. Sorry, Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verses 38 to 43. The Bible says, they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus saw commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. And when they had entered, he said to them, why are you making a commotion and weeping? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And they laughed at him, but he put them all outside and took the children's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the head, by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kumi, which means little girl, I say to you, arise. And we all know how that story ends. You see, when we follow Jesus and we're met with disappointment and discouragement, when Jesus in the story is in the house and he's ready to address the despair and the hopelessness that he sees in that room, those parents weren't met with a supportive group and a supportive crowd, right? They were met with people that were wailing, that were crying. They were met with people that were laughing at Jesus, saying, "That's impossible. Can't you read the room, Jesus?" Imagine if you were the father and mother of this little girl. You've heard your daughter died. You were on the way already to their house, but Jesus insists on coming. Just because Jesus heard that the little girl died, he still makes his way over to the house, right? Imagine if you were that father, and your little girl died, and Jesus comes to you and says, "Okay, we're gonna go over," or you tell Jesus that your daughter is sick, and Jesus says, "Okay, let's go." And on the way there, you have a messenger, and the messenger says, "Your daughter is dead," but Jesus keeps going. That's a stir of faith, wouldn't you say? And then to be met at the final line, the final step, with people laughing, people discouraging, people wailing, accusing. But what did Jesus do? If you read this verse, he takes them and he says, "Put them outside." Church, another thing that the Lord's impressed on my heart to say to you here today is sometimes when you follow Jesus, you're gonna have people that distract you. You're gonna have people that laugh at you. You're gonna have distractions like Peter did back in John 21, where he looked over his shoulder and saw John and said, "What about him?" But Jesus says, "You follow me. I don't care about anything else." Some people here need to put away those distractions. Those distractions need to go out of your house, out of your mind, out of your living room, there are some relationships that distract you from the Lord, from really following Jesus. You need to put those out. And we need to be lockstep, locked eyes with Jesus, because Jesus said, "You follow me." I am telling you here tonight that you might need to put some of those voices outside. Put the devil outside, put the noises outside, put the distractions outside, focus on Jesus. Jesus says clearly, "Follow me." When everything points in a different direction, keep your focus and your eyes on Jesus. And that's how we can truly worship God. You see, when we come here on Sunday and we lift up our hands and our praises and our voices, our inner heart, our heart should be so focused on giving Jesus authentic and pure worship. Can we worship God with no distractions? Did we come to a show or a spectacle, or did we come to offer up a sacrifices of our hearts and our lips to a living, just, righteous, merciful, loving God? I remember hearing a YouTube video of a testimony that somebody here sent me, and this lady asked the pastor and said, "Did you come here just to come out, to hang out? Because if you came here to hang out, then that's an insult to Jesus. Because we're here in the presence of God. We're here in this place to worship him, to bring our hearts before him, to worship him in giving, to worship him with our songs, with our prayers, to pour out what we have in our hearts for the Lord to hear and to respond." Church, our God is living. Our God is here. He's working at Emmanuel Church. Let's not miss the moment. Emmanuel Church, let's return to the simple gospel. Who cares what everybody around us is doing? Who cares what our friends are doing? To a degree, who cares what those in our family are doing? You follow Jesus. That's all that matters. Can we follow Jesus? Church, let's follow Jesus. And I promise, and it's not me promising, but it's the Lord promising, that if we follow Jesus with all of our hearts, that there's his presence, and where his presence is, that's all that matters. That's all that matters here on earth. And that's all that matters when we see him face to face in glory. May you be blessed. May the Lord give us all the resolve, the dedication, and the hearts to follow him till the very end. Amen.